Delicious meets nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value and making Wonderful Pistachios one of the highest protein nuts. But perhaps more than that, I love all of the flavors they have. Their sea salt and vinegar ones are my favorite when I'm craving that flavor but want to keep it healthy. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors, like chili roasted, honey roasted, smoky barbecue, and jalapeno lime, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. So fill up with a healthy snack when hunger strikes. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. That's WonderfulPistachios.com. Have you ever noticed how a calm mind can really set the stage for a good night's sleep? That's the idea behind our new podcast, Good Sleep. Greg, our host from Optimal Relationships Daily, is here to help ease you into a peaceful night's rest with some positive affirmations. And these affirmations aren't just comforting, they can help ease anxiety and nurture positive thoughts, setting you up for true good sleep. So, press play on Good Sleep tonight, because a good tomorrow starts with a good night's sleep. Just search for Good Sleep in your podcast app and be sure to pick the one from Optimal Living Daily. This is Optimal Health Daily, episode 1808, Binging or Comfort Eating? 5 Ways for Comfort Eating to Stay Comfortable by Dr. Margaret Rutherford of drmargaretrutherford.com. And I'm Dr. Neil, your host and narrator. Happy Monday. Thank you so much for being here and welcome back to a new week of Optimal Health Daily. This is where I read to you from some of the best health and fitness blogs on the web, kind of like an ongoing audiobook, and always with a bit of my commentary at the end. Now, I'm sure you're excited to hear today's article, so let's get right to it as we optimize your life. Binging or Comfort Eating? 5 Ways for Comfort Eating to Stay Comfortable by Dr. Margaret Rutherford of drmargaretrutherford.com. I have 2 distinct memories that involve eating. One horrified me, the other brought a sense of being understood. Like most others living in a dorm, I had a small fridge in my little room in college. I was beginning to develop anorexia and was eating less and less, while receiving all kinds of accolades for becoming thin, which of course egged on my disorder. One afternoon, I ran back to my room because I was terribly hungry. I hadn't quite reached the stage of anorexia where you mentally and emotionally detach from your body. The first thing I did was open the fridge door and reach for something, anything, that might fill me up. I stuffed it in my mouth like a dog who hadn't been fed for days. Then I sensed something. I looked up, and my partner was sitting in a chair in the corner, watching and laughing. Never mind that that was pretty boundaryless behavior on his part. I don't think I swallowed. I was instantly full of shame for being seen as so very out of control. It only made me want to have more control. Forward 20 years later, my spouse was walking down the hall of our home and could see me sitting on the den couch. I'd learned I wasn't pregnant again after 3 years of infertility treatment and was handling those feelings by polishing off a big bag of Ruffles potato chips. I was frantically reaching into the bottom of the bag as he reached the door, trying to get the crumbs stuck to my fingers so I could lick them off. Dried tears were on my face. Some talk show blared on the TV. All he kindly said, after looking at me and the empty bag in my hand, was, "Do you want another one?" No shaming, no laughter, just empathy. I knew I'd married the right person. These 2 events, one couched in the development of an actual eating disorder, the other, the seeking of comfort through eating, have stuck in my mind for years. What did eating mean at those times? Do I have binge eating disorder or comfort eating? It's important to recognize the difference between an actual eating disorder, such as binge eating, and plain old comfort eating. The first is a mental illness that tends to begin in adolescence and young adulthood. The 2 major characteristics of binge eating are eating in a fairly short period of time a much larger amount of food than what most people would eat, and a lack of control over that eating. It doesn't feel like a choice. It's a compulsion. But it can be triggered by emotions. studies show that close to half of those who binge eat have a history of depression. There are also links to anxiety, impulsive behavior, and other mental health struggles. My friend, Dr. Amy Scheinberg, who specializes in eating disorders and also has a sometimes poignant, sometimes hilarious Facebook page, tells us, quote, "Each are generally associated with a trigger, but a binge suggests a compulsive need to eat large quantities of food, not necessarily comfort foods, but foods that are generally labeled red light foods, in a discrete period of time. Soothing may be a sought-after effect of a binge, but binging can also be associated with other effects, including self-punishment. Comfort eating, while not a clinical term, is almost exclusively for self-soothing. Foods chosen are generally associated with past memories that are recalled with fondness. There is no defined pace, and in fact, the food consumed may be eaten in normal portions." End quote. So it sounds like comfort eating, if it happens once in a while, isn't a problem. Having chocolate meringue pie for breakfast can seem like a great idea if you're in a funk. So how do you know the difference? Here are five criteria. 1, eating when you're not hungry. Ask yourself the question, am I really hungry? And if so, what am I hungry for? Research shows, for example, that often when we are feeling hungry, we are actually thirsty and not in need of food at all. Getting in tune with what you're hungry for lends intentionality to eating. I'm hungry for something really fresh tasting can feel very different than I'm hungry for anything. Do I want one Hershey's kiss or do I need 15 kisses? Going to a nutritionist can help you figure out your relationship with different foods. 2, eating when you're bored or lonely. Food can act as a friend, there when you need it, but it's not, not really. The more we isolate and hover over iPads, the more food may be acting as our hangout buddy. Reach out to a real person instead, and it will be much more rewarding. 3, eating to distract from or avoid painful emotions. Grief, sadness, guilt, anger, disappointment, humiliation. None of these emotions are easy to feel, yet the more you avoid them, the stronger they can become. And literally stuffing emotions down can morph into a destructive cycle. You have to eat more to handle the growing feelings. You can choose to stop that cycle. Journal, go to therapy, talk to a friend, sit with the feelings, cry, vent, chop wood, scream, do anything that will help that's not self-destructive or hurt someone else. 4, eating because you don't know how to comfort yourself in another way. Try other ways of comforting yourself. Read, walk, watch an old movie, talk, stretch, meditate, laugh, paint, exercise, write. Do something else that helps you feel better. And 5, eating because you're ashamed of or even hate your body. Self-acceptance is paramount to good mental health. It's not resignation. It's accepting yourself as you are, where you are, and how you got there. It's practicing self-compassion. The best way you can grow and change is to acknowledge where you are. Shame and hatred will only serve as a hurdle rather than some kind of self-punitive motivation. You just listened to the post titled "Binging or Comfort Eating? 5 Ways for Comfort Eating to Stay Comfortable" by Dr. Margaret Rutherford of drmargaretrutherford.com. Dr. Neil here for my commentary. If binge eating or comfort eating are behaviors someone struggles with, one of the first steps most health professionals would recommend would be to keep a food journal. Dr. Rutherford in her article talked about journaling, and I've talked about how important keeping a food journal can be when it comes to weight management. But keeping a food journal is useful for so many other reasons besides just managing your weight. In situations where someone wants to keep track of their binge eating or comfort eating habits, they can track their food intake and how they felt before and after they ate. This can all be tracked in a food journal. And this has some advantages, like making eating behavior less automatic. By having to write down emotions and everything that was consumed, supplements, snacks, drinks, meals, everything, it mixes up the routine. And tracking these things will make seeing any patterns in the behavior much easier to see. And the journal could be shared with a healthcare professional if you bring it to the appointment, who could then review it and offer their insights. So keeping a food journal is one of the most valuable tools when it comes to tracking most food-related behaviors. All right, that'll do it for the Monday episode. I hope you have a great start to your week, and I'll be back here tomorrow as usual, where your optimal life awaits.